Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Jenkins Church. For those of you who are new, I am Jackie Fuqua. I'm the worship leader this morning, and we welcome you to our church. For those of you joining us online, we're happy you are joining us as well. Our announcements today. Online prayer requests. If you have an online prayer request, if you will please send it to jenkinsprayer@gmail.com. This is either for praise or prayer requests. And if you are joining us online, if you will please do that now so that the team can get that all printed up and to Jason later in the service. Bible study continues on Wednesdays. Paul's letter to the Roman church. Dinner is at 5:30. Study is at 6:30. And if you can just let Jason or the office know if you plan on attending dinner so that they can have a head count and have enough food.
And this week it will actually be 5:30, not 6 o'clock, because we're getting Jackie Green to do it. And she'll be on time as opposed to the pizza company. So 5:30 this time, I promise.
Okay, the Lunch Bunch is meeting this Tuesday, September 12th, at Hoppy's Harbor Grill in Mount Juliet, which on the bulletin it says is at Fate Sanders Marina. It's at 11:30. Please RSVP to Joyce or Steve. Is there a carpool going, Steve?
Could be.
Could be? Okay, and if there is, what time would you like them to meet here? I should ask Joyce. Joyce, what time would you like them to be here? Okay. So Joyce says that if you are planning on meeting up here at the church, be here by 10:45 at the latest, as they will be leaving at 10:50. So anytime between 10:30 and 10:45. Strasser Farm Cookout. Save this date for Saturday, October 28th. More details will come in the weeks to follow. Israel Information Meeting, Sunday, October 1st, which is also Communion Sunday and Potluck Sunday. So during potluck, after communion, probably more after potluck, there will be an informational meeting about this if you are interested in attending. I see it says it's for 2025, so just keep that in your brain. If you're even interested in maybe going, this would be a good time to come and learn more. Any other announcements? I noticed it is David Birdsong's birthday, and on the 14th, as well as Donna Mundy on the 14th. And Donna will be turning 29 again. So, Janice just gave me a look. So, any other announcements? Okay, if we will have our call to worship, if you will please rise. Our call to worship comes from Psalm 119, verses 33 through 40. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will observe it to the end.
Give me understanding, that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart.
Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it.
Turn my heart to your decrees and not to selfish gain.
Turn my eyes from looking at vanities. Give me life in your ways.
Confirm to your servant your promise, which is for those who fear you.
Our prayer of invocation. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day, this church, and these people. Let us continue to grow in our faith and to be open to your word. May you guide us in a path that leads us to your glory. Amen.
Good morning, church. Join us as we praise the name of the Lord here. Blessed be the name, hymn number 103.
Our scripture of assurance comes from Romans 13, verse 8. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law.
Church, this comes from Romans, which we're studying so much. And I heard a statement one time by somebody. He said, do you know how they'll know who we are? And he said, well, it won't be by our polity, and it won't be by who we have in the church, and it won't be how our building looks like. It'll be one thing. It's how we love people. And to me, that is one of the most beautiful statements of the faith, is I don't have to worry about the 7,000 laws that there were or the 7,000 ways that we think we should live today. It's very simple. Have I loved you, and have you loved me? And that is the extent of the Christian relationship. Praise God for that. Amen. We don't have to deal with it like the world does. Let's thank God for it.
Jason, we're going to sing just that. They'll know we are Christians by our love. Amen?
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir.
Sing
it together. 284 in the hymnal.
We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one.
today. Do we have a, there you go, a young one, if they would like to go and have their time of their own in children's church if they choose. It's a big difficulty if we just sit with family or to go to children's church. That is the hardest decision, I get.
Man, precious. A little young over here, too. Jack, if you want to.
Hi. We continue to thank you for the many ways that you are able to give to our church through offering and tithes. There is, obviously, here at church, there is the box in the back. If you want to do it that way, you can also donate online at jenkinscp.org. Text to 877-958-9406. Or send cash or check to the P.O. Box 518 here in Nolensville. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Matthew 18, verses 15 through 20. If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly, I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them.
Thank you, Jackie. Church, can we go to God in prayer? Gracious Lord, we ask for your blessing. We ask for understanding. We ask for a spirit of wisdom. We ask for strength. For me, as I deliver the message, and willing ears to hear. We ask all this, God, because you are the giver of all things, and God's people said, amen. Two things this morning. The first one is this. Don't take medication on an empty stomach. I made a mistake this morning, and if I am not on top of my game, you will please excuse me. I have learned my lesson. The second one is this. Thank God we never stop learning. I don't know where you stand in this. I'm not done learning. I don't think that we never need to be done learning. There is always another tomorrow as we try to find knowledge and as we seek out for wisdom. What use is there in ever stopping to learn? If we want to continue to grow and be in this world, that's what it takes. Here's what I learned this morning. The sermon I prepared up until last night as I was hanging out with my youngest is awful, and I ain't preaching it today. It is never printed. It is still on the computer, and I'm not bringing it out. Here's what happened. I don't like the scripture from today. I've never preached it. I found out that I was ordained 10 years ago this past Thursday. It popped up on Facebook feed that my mom, of course, my mom, right, put a picture up. Said, oh, my boy's been ordained for 10 years. And I saw it. And so that was about the time I was preparing for this. And I realized I've never preached on this scripture, had no desire to. I really didn't actually know where it came from, to be honest with you. And there's a reason that I didn't like it. I don't like confrontation. I never have. I am just don't, at least not that type. I guess we all like our own type. But to me, this scripture, it unintentionally, or not necessarily rather, it unnecessarily blamed people. It was like, we don't like what you do, and we don't like what you say, and now we have a way to sort of get rid of you. I know that's not what Jesus meant in this. I know that. But I know how this scripture's been used in the past. We can't dismiss, disregard, we can't forget the millions that have been abused by this exact scripture when people have perverted it. People have taken this and they decided that our way can be our way and you are not part of our way. And so people have been dismissed, disregarded, and killed over this very scripture and ones like it. And that's what happens when you take things out of context, right? People ruin the faith when they do that. So I never liked this scripture. I have always despised it. But then it came up in the preaching rotation. And what do you do then, right? What do? Do you just disregard it? Do you just push it to the side? And I didn't. I tried to do something with it. I gave it a shot, and I absolutely failed. You'll never see the light of day. That sermon is awful. So this morning, I'm just going to talk about this. And I'm going to trust that the Spirit is with us. And I'm going to trust that I have kind of prepared at least understanding some about it, and so I'm just going to talk about it. And maybe I'll just ramble, but I was going to do that anyway, so I'm feeling it's not good, y'all. Maybe the problem is that context really, really, really matters in Scripture. We know this. We know this about all of life. Somebody has taken you out of context, and there has been a huge, huge problem of it. You said something to somebody, and they went to somebody else, and they said, well, they said so-and-so, which is not exactly what you said, and it's created an issue. And that same thing happens with Scripture. We take it out of context, and it makes it so that we can't even understand it, and if we can understand it, we can use it for our own good. So I want to go back, and I want to look at the context of this Scripture. Because when I did originally, what I found out is that this chapter 18 that we read this from is one conversation. It would literally be like pulling a paragraph out of what you had to say and saying, okay, what does this mean without looking at the entirety of that what you said. There was one conversation. There were two questions in chapter 18, or are two questions. One is from the disciples, and one is from Peter, and there are two answers that Jesus gives, and that's the entirety of chapter 18. And maybe what we can find if we look at the entirety is that this is not so much about rules as it is about what God looks like and about grace. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to look at all of chapter 18. Here's the interesting part. You probably already know most of the stories, but if you're like me, you didn't know they went together, but they do. And so we're going to look at them. So we're going to look at verse 1. And what I'd like you to do is everybody's got a Bible in their pews. It might be KJV. If you can't translate KJV to English, get another one. But I want you to grab a Bible. And everybody, pick up a Bible in your pews and turn to Matthew 18. And I don't want necessarily you to necessarily read it, but I want you to be able to reference it and know what we're doing. Matthew 18, that's New Testament. No lab. Now, we're not going to read it all. I'm going to tell you most of the stories, but I want you to have it in front of you so you can take a look when you need to. Here's what happened in chapter 18. The very first thing that happens is that disciples ask a very honest and real question. And what they ask is this: who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Now, there's a reason they asked that. It's because Jesus, just before this, had changed who was the greatest. Who is the greatest in the kingdom? Well, y'all, I don't mean to alarm you, but back then, it was the people that stood behind one of these, right? It was the priests. It was the leaders. It was the whoever. And right before this, Jesus had corrected that. And so the very first question is, who is the greatest? Who is the greatest in the kingdom? Honest question, something we want to know. So what Jesus does is he does exactly that. He answers the question and he says, who are the greatest? And it's verses 2 through 5. You can see it in your Bible there. And in verses 2 through 5, he says that you have to be like a child. You have to be like a child to be the greatest in the kingdom. Now, here's the problem with that. Kids are wonderfully cute. You all know that. I love the kids in this church. I think they're precious. We do not consider them the greatest in the kingdom. Now, we do for Christian. We understand. But in the real world, who are the greatest? Athletes, that's one. Politicians, right? Money, big business owners. The famous, the one that paparazzi shoots pictures at. Those are the greatest. And Jesus flips the entire thing on its head and says, nope, the children are the greatest. And that was a really big deal then because children were far from the greatest at that time. That's 2 through 5. Then verses 6 through 9, Jesus says, now here's the trick. Don't cause them to stumble ever. Not the children. He said, oh, by the way, he thought also you have to accept the children to be as the kingdom as well. But he says, don't cause the children to stumble. Now, he doesn't say how they might stumble. Maybe they're led astray. Maybe barriers are put in their way. Maybe the teaching is wrong. There's no really way to know what Jesus meant by that stumble. But we do remember that Jesus was blaming people for causing people to stumble, right? And he wasn't talking about heathens, sinners, and non-believers. He was talking about, once again, the people behind one of these. Don't cause my children to stumble. Oh, by the way, in verse, it's one of those, I think 9, is proof that nobody takes the Bible literally. Because what it says is you better have a millstone around your neck and jump into the lake than cause one to stumble. It's better to gouge at the eye, cut off the hand, and cut off the foot if it causes you to stumble. But I don't see many of us doing that. So the literal notion of the faith is not true. Nobody lives the faith literally, including us. 10 through 14 then says this. And this is another one we know. There are 99 sheep or 100 sheep. You just counted 99 in your flock. You know one is missing. What do? You stick 99 on the hill and you can make sure they're safe and you go hunting after the one. You're happier when you find the one than when you had the 99. And it says that's how God is with us. It's what Jesus says. This is all one conversation. Then 15 to 20 comes, and after saying the 99 will be safe to get the one, we have what we read today. And you know good and well, I misused that scripture, right? Can you pull up the last screen, the last one of the scripture? It's okay. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. You know how I misused that one? When we have a prayer service and two or three people show up, guess what I say? But where two or three are gathered, there's God. And that's true. But that ain't what it's saying, is it? It's talking about there being witnesses to something. And so what I'm getting at is we always pick these little parts out and we use them like a Band-Aid to put over a wound or a weapon to cut somebody with, depending on what it is. But we have 10 through or 15 through 20. And this is the one that we read a few moments ago, saying, if you got a problem, by the way, it says, if somebody offends you, that you part may be added later. Just offends is the word. And that's a problem because we can all be offended by something. Like, we can try to be offended by something and come up with it and convince somebody else that it was okay to be offended by and then go after that person. So even the scripture like that is a challenge, but we're putting it in context. Right after our scripture, Peter asked the second question. Maybe he took this like we did. Like, well, it's like kind of rules-based a little bit, like a process. So he asked the question, let's put a number on it. How many times am I supposed to forgive? This is another scripture we know, right? He says, how many times, Jesus, are we supposed to give 7 times? That 7 is a full number, a complete number. That's why he used it. It wasn't actually 7. 7 times is the fullness of forgiveness. And Jesus was like, yeah, that might work. But so would 70 times 7, Peter. In other words, this notion of if you forgive that much, at some point you're going to lose count. You got to start back at 1 again. You know, and so there's this notion that you have to forgive and forgive and forgive, this complete forgiveness that just never ends. That's 21 and 22. And then to finish the chapter out, I hope you have this for later, to finish the chapter out, we get the story where Jesus proves his point. And you've heard this one too. He said there was a king. And that king needed to settle up his people who owed to him. And so he brought in a slave because the slave needed to pay off his debts for whatever reason. And the slave said, or Jesus said that the slave owed the king 10,000 talents. Anybody want to guess how much money that is in today's, this will be fun, in today's money? Anybody want to take a guess? 10,000 talents? Doesn't matter. You don't have to be right. Just throw it out. Otherwise, I'm just standing up here looking like an idiot. Again. How much?
$1 million.
Anybody else? Huh?
$100.
Somebody needed to say between $200 million and $200 billion. That's how much 10,000 talent. You got that much money, Jerry, on your pocket, right? You could pay it off for him, right?
Ruth got it.
Ruth got it, yeah. It was absurd what Jesus was. What kind of slave owes either $200 million or $200 billion, much less 200,000, right? Jesus is being absurd for a reason. He's making a point. He said a king needed to get 10,000 talents from the slave, and wouldn't you know it, the slave couldn't pay. And so he's going to sell him and sell all his stuff and all his family. How that's going to come up with enough money is beyond me. But that's what the king was going to sell everything off and just recoup what he could. And the slave said, man, don't do that. It would ruin his life, right? Don't do that. Please don't do that. I need my family. I need my things. I need a life. And so what did the king do? He was rich enough, he forgave a 10,000 talent debt. So the slave left joyful, happy. Like, what a day, man. The weight, can you imagine, off his shoulders? I don't have that hanging over my head anymore. And he walks outside and he sees one of his buddies who owes him about $5,000. And he goes, hey, where's my money? And the guy's like, I don't have it. And the slave forgave him, right? He said, go be free. No? Somebody, I see somebody shaking their head. No? Y'all read ahead? Had him put in jail until he could come up with the money. Probably until he could sell off the land that was he inherited so he could give the money to the slave who wanted it. So Jesus said, if you do that kind of stuff, my father will pull you back in, put you in jail, and you will pay your full debt. Forgive like the king forgave. And now we're at the end of the chapter. And suddenly things start looking a little tamer. Suddenly we realize that in this entire chapter is this amazing statement of grace. I'll leave 99 on the hill and go find the one, won't you? I will forgive 10,000 talents. How much are you going to forgive? And there's this notion of grace that pours through this entire. And now I got some problems with it still. It doesn't leave room for the prophet. You know what the prophet does? The prophet makes everybody mad. The prophet comes in and says, this is the problem that's going on, and if you keep doing this, this is what you're going to get. And you know what you do to prophets? You kill them. Look at the great prophets in our history. We killed them all. And so it doesn't leave room for the prophet, and it does this little section, if we take it alone, can still be misused, so it separates people from the faith. But if you put it in context, it makes me wonder that if I take the whole thing and I read the whole thing, how might it speak to how I live in this world with other people so that we live in a manner in which we love one another and we don't hurt one another with scriptures like this? Because there's two things, and I'm going to end on this. It might be that there's a right way to live, and this little section that we read make sure that we correct one another, that we live in the church with one another in such a way that we're calling each other to better greatness, right? If a whole church comes to me and says, Jason, you got a problem, I might hear it. Now, I might not, but I might. So there is a notion that we are communal, we are together, and we need to keep a faith that understands the beauty and the joy and the power and the glory of God. That's true. But we also need to recognize how full of grace this is. We have a king. You have a king. I have a king that has forgiven me 70 times 7 and started over 7 times. We have a king that has given so much care and grace to us and love and passion to us, has given absolutely as much as can. We said this Wednesday night, given so much. The patience is so much that you are given your entire life to repent and repent and repent again. To find the right path, to go the right way. You're given your entire life to do that. What a patient God. Amen. God's been patient with you. God's with me. Still is. Maybe that's what we need. Maybe if we went and read this entire chapter every day this week, if we woke up in the morning and went to bed at night and read one chapter of Scripture and just read this one, how would it shape our faith? How would it shape our ability to live with one another? And how would it shape our relationship with God if we knew how gracious God has been to us and how we're expected to be with others? Let's do that. Just take the Bible home with you you got if you want to. I'll order you one of the kinds you want. Doesn't matter. But this week, take the Bible home and read just this chapter. Time, repetition, and the Holy Spirit. I trust all three of those, man. And if we give that moment to it's like poetry. Memorizing poetry and read it time again is the power of poetry. And just like this, if we read it time again, over and over, and pray that the Holy Spirit spoke truth into us, I just wonder what our grace toward one another would look like. You know? How would it grow? How would it be? How would it be we can love our God because of the grace we've been given and love our neighbor because of the grace we've been given? And know that we have a king and we are that king's child. We're given everything we need to live together in the church. This is the power of the church, you all, is we can show the world how we can live and be one another together in the faith. Go read this week. Please go read this week. And God's people said. Our final song this morning is The Bond of Love. I would ask that you stand and sing and find where is it you can give grace in this world and where is it you've been given. Would you please stand? Sweat up here. I went and got a nice little fancy fan to put up here. Problem is, it's not sitting over there. I need to carry it with me, I think. We have a prayer request from the Philbicks, prayers for Jordan Fitz and her family, a wonderful young woman. Love, comfort, and guidance for her physicians. Also prayers for Linda Philbrick, who's having some dental surgery recovery. I would ask you pray for Suzanne. She's traveling back today from her mom's, where she's been caring for her mom and for stepdad Tony. So please keep them in your prayers. Are there others this morning we need to be in prayer for? Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry?
Dixie.
Dixie, yeah, Dixie fell and is at Vandy. So we need to be in prayer for her, Bud, as well. Sparks family. It is wonderful to see you back, ma'am. So good to see you back. Are there others this morning? Yes, ma'am.
My cousin Susie Allen is fighting cancer. She's going through radiation.
Prayers for Susie as she's going through radiation and chemo. Yeah, Jackie, I think that's
right. Louise, she has bronchitis.
Yeah, prayers for Louise. Not feeling well. I was wondering where she was. There are others this morning. Yes.
How about the folks over in Morocco?
Oh man, 2,000 plus have died. Y'all know we have a very good friend that lives there. Talked to him yesterday. His family is east of the Atlas Mountains, but he said the area that they travel through often is. It's wrecked, man. So, prayers for all those in Morocco. What a horrific situation. Are there others? Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, we thank you for strength. We thank you for comfort. We thank you, God, for the word. We thank you for patience. We thank you, Lord, for all of these attributes of you, because we know that as we turn our lives over to you, that we can trust you, that you can be trusted in sustaining us and delivering us and holding us so tight and well. And we thank you, God, for that. We ask this week that you do something in the lives of the folks that are on our prayer list. We ask your blessings upon them and your providence, that goodness happens in each of these situations, even if we don't know necessarily what goodness looks like all the time. May it happen behind the scenes even, preparing for a goodness tomorrow. We ask this, Lord, for Suzanne and Dixie and Leonard and Linda and the tragic loss of her husband and son, for the Sparks family, Susie, Louise, all of those in Morocco, Lord, and for Linda and for Jordan. We ask these that you do something miraculous in each of these situations, and maybe that miraculous is placing it heavy upon our heart to go and help in your way. We ask these things, Lord, because you give everything good. And we ask that you bless us this week, that you remind us each day to read Matthew 18 and to mull it over in our minds so that we can come to understand just how amazing your grace is in this world and allow it to bless us with grace that we can give as much as you have given to us. We ask this through your prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Would you please stand for the benediction? Church, go in love, go in joy, go in peace, go in grace, go in mercy, and go know that the Lord is so gracious to us and we can be gracious to others. And release us, Lord, from this place, but never from you. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Thank you, Steve.